desolate places, especially in northwest Africa. There's a legend in Africa that goes like this. One day God was walking on the face of this earth, and he came across a beautiful tree. Feeling a bit hungry, he decided to look for fruit in that tree. But finding none, he became so angry that he picked up the tree, roots and all, turned it upside down, and stuck it back in the ground, which is why the baobab tree looks the way it does. For the people living in those areas, it serves as a reminder of how difficult it is to earn a living and live, and how God has forsaken them. On the 11th of January this year, that's pretty much how I felt. I woke up early in the morning with a neck pain that was beginning to radiate up towards my head. I knew that in a few hours I'd wake up with a major headache. It was still dark outside, so I reached out and flipped on my mobile phone, and I noticed it was just a little past 2 in the morning. And then I saw three letters next to it, M-O-N. As I dropped the phone, I thought, oh God, it's Monday. And as I thought that, another four-letter word entered my head, which I associated with work, that didn't have particularly positive connotations or was very nice. As I flipped over to ease the pressure on my neck, I saw the still sleeping form of my wife next to me. And I said, Lord, don't get me wrong. You've certainly provided for us, and we've been able to do a few things that we would not otherwise ordinarily have been able to do. But for the past 5 years, you know that I have been trying to get other work, a different role, and all I have to show for it is just an expense in terms of car park fees and other things, but nothing else. Okay, Lord, I know the place is completely anti-Christian, and perhaps you put me there for that specific reason. But the place feels so hard. I feel as though I would need an army of people with jackhammers to really break it up and soften it up. And there's just me out there. Lord, has it been of any use this past 5 years? I feel so completely useless. As I as I thought about that the rest of the day, my mind drifted to understand the sun, at least as so thought, until I remembered my early years in the Sahel, that region of land just under and alongside the Sahara, where all the moisture in the world comes in the space of 4 months, May, June, July and August. All the crops and food that they needs to be grown in that 4 months. The other 8 months, it just dries a bone. In fact, it gets so dry that the ground cracks up, your skin cracks up, your hands, your feet crack, and your lips crack. It's that dry. Over the Sahara, you get winds that pick up the white, fine, heavy white sand of the Sahara, and it flings it up thousands of meters into the air. And it drifts slowly along across West Africa. It gets into every nook, corner, and crevice. It gets into your eyes, your mouth, your nose. It's an asthmatic nightmare. October and November, they're probably the best months, because the granaries are full in the villages. You have women, men, singing, dancing, laughing. The kids run around and get up to mischief as they would in any other part of the world. As December rolls around, people who grow sorghum and milo in their little fields pound it into a flour, turn it into a mushy consistency during their meals, and they only eat two meals a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. They roll it into balls with their fingers, dip it into a little sauce, and pop it into their mouths. When December comes around, the granaries start to recede. And a lot of families give up the morning meal. As January comes round, not one in 50 families is eating two meals a day. In February, just about everyone is on one meal a day, and the portion size starts to diminish. In March, sure. Daddy, 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 we've got rain. Son, you know we haven't had rain for weeks. But Daddy, Daddy, in the shed where we keep the goats, there on the wall there's a leather sack. And in the sack I reached up and put my hand down into it, and there's grain. Daddy, please give it to Mummy so that she can make flour and my tongue can speak to me. His, he can choose what he wants to do, but instead of feeding his terribly weakened family, he chooses to throw it away. As African pastors often preach when they preach on Psalm 126, they say, brothers and sisters, this is God's law of the harvest. Don't expect to rejoice later on unless you've been willing to sow in tears. Let me ask you today, how much would it cost you to sow in tears? We're not talking about just giving God something from your abundance, but finding a way to say, I believe in the harvest, therefore I will give what makes no sense. The world may well call me unreasonable, silly, even stupid to do this, but I must sow regardless so that someday I may rejoice with songs of joy and celebration. I'd like to stop for a moment because there may be someone here today who really has no idea what I'm talking about or understands the significance of what Christ did on the cross. Today I'd like to show you, so if you guys can bring it up. You just need to click on it.
We have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God placed on him the sin of us all. So that he could justify the sins of the whole world.
Sometimes I feel that it helps to gain a better perspective when we put it into some of the contemporary setting. I have another little clip that I'd like to show you. There's the FLV. Just have a listen.
To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like House, days of our lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you look into Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair, watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER or the OC. Nothing on a CD, TV, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no spin spinner, or a flat out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cent Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every Black Eyed Pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with the icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're gonna die, bro? Then where are you gonna go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant, like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TVN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.
Food for thought. It would seem to me that for those of us who have come to into a personal relationship with God and have come to realize His grace, as we get to know Him better and we draw closer to Him, then we should automatically reflect His likeness. Okay, I like to think of it as grace being embedded in our very DNA. And if that's the case, then as I look at work, or have looked at work, I have to admit I have a big problem. Because I'm not sure if my life actually reflects that. I've looked at work in the Bible, and it's interesting to note that work actually comes even before sin entered the world. And in fact, it conjures up a few words like joy, and pleasure, happiness. There's even another four-letter word that comes to mind, love. And I've often wondered if love, that four-letter word, could replace the one that I was thinking of that January morning, hate. Could love possibly replace hate? A little bit of research, and I've discovered that 80% of the world's population is deeply dissatisfied with the work that they're doing. They would much rather be doing something else or be somewhere else. And if that's true, then there's a pretty good chance that 80% of you here today would probably be looking for another job, or if you aren't, due to circumstance, you're grinding it out, waiting for the right time, for the right opportunity. It seems to me that if you're doing that and going from paycheck to paycheck simply because of the money, then I'm looking at myself here, I'm thinking, am I a mercenary? If we're deeply dissatisfied and want to be a Christ follower, then surely there's got to be a better way. And I figured that, well, if I can possibly get my life aligned around the basic major themes across the Bible, then surely I would be closer to be on the right track. There are two major themes that appear in the Bible. One, that of a suffering Messiah. You see that in Genesis 3:15. In fact, I like to call it the Genesis 3:15 theme. That the Messiah of necessity would come to suffer and die and rise from the dead. The other is what is broadly classified as missions, an all-out worldwide mission of mercy to all known as the Abrahamic